this week, June 23rd, 2015, on The Digital Story. The DXO-1, the pocket powerhouse camera. Plug your aperture plugins into Emulsion, a new photo app for the Mac. Say hello to iOS. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Thrilled to be here with you today. I have some interesting new items. I mean, like new stuff. We have a new camera from DXO. You probably read a little bit about it, but I've been shooting with one now for about a month, and I'm going to tell you the ins and outs of it. It's called the DXO-1. There's a software application out there called Emulsion, like film emulsion. And it does some interesting things. I'm going to talk about it. But the thing that caught my eye is that I can use my aperture plugins with it. That's kind of interesting. And there's more. But wait, there's more. And we have weekly update, screening room, all sorts of good stuff today. So let's get to it. The weekly update. Hello for iOS has arrived. Hello, which is ELLO, is now available for iPhone and iPad. Featuring dozens of new features, including real-time notifications, new ways to find your friends, full-screen images, and a heck of a lot more. And no ads forever. So this is pretty cool. I have talked about Hello before on this show. And that was when it was web browser only, which was okay. I mean, I like it. I think the images, artwork, and graphics I see on there are kind of cool. They're different than what I see in other places. And that's what I've enjoyed about it. But I did find myself going there less and less because it was web browser only. And quite honestly, when I'm on the computer, I'm usually doing work. And when I'm goofing around, I'm usually holding an iPad or an iPhone. So what they've released, wisely so, is an iOS app, the Hello iOS app, and it's pretty darn good. I have to say, out of the chute, it's pretty darn good. So now I can browse my friends and other stuff. You know, there's like your friends that you follow and you see their feed, so to speak. But then there's the random stuff, and the random stuff's what I really like. I usually tap on random and just browse and see what's going on. And I can post my stuff now through the iOS app. And just in general, it has brought Hello to me where I want to use it, which is when I'm not on the computer for the most part. I think it's pretty cool. The app is free. And I think this will cause a bit of a surge in this particular social network. So anyway, if you're not an Hello fan, but you do like interesting artwork and maybe off the beaten track photography, then you might want to take a look. And especially now that they have the iOS app, because it's fun. You can just kick around on the couch or while you're waiting in line or whatever and see what other artists are up to. In other news, Samsung testing prototype truck with a live view camera. This is really pretty wild. F-Stoppers reports, Samsung is currently testing a prototype truck in Argentina, fitted with a camera on the cabin and a live view display in the rear. The purpose of this is to help drivers safely pass trucks, a task which often provides difficult and has resulted in many accidents. Isn't that a great copy? Well, first of all, I'm dying to know why they're testing it in Argentina. It's just, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's not a lot going on the highways there. Maybe they have a lot of head-on collisions. I just, Argentina, of all places, is, well, that's humorous to me. So anyway, but this device itself looks like a regular big rig truck. And just like the copy says, they put a camera on the front and they have this kind of cool big LCD on the back. So when you're stuck behind the truck, you can actually see what's in front of the truck. When it's safe to pass, which at some point you're going to want to pass, most likely, unless you're driving a truck too, then you can see on the screen when there's no cars on the horizon at all, and then safely pull out and pass the truck. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Now, the only thing I worry about is what if you're behind the truck and it's just like really interesting watching the screen? So then you become, you know, distracted by watching the screen, and then the truck does something like hit the brakes and you don't react fast enough, and then you smash into the back of the truck. So there does seem to be some possible shortcomings to this, and I guess that's why they're testing it. And of course, that's why they're testing it in Argentina, because that is the place you do these things. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, the DXO1, the pocket powerhouse camera. I'm just going to read you a little bit of copy first, and then I'll talk about this little guy, this cute little guy. Artists no longer have to choose between mobility and quality. The DXO1 packs a 1-inch sensor into a palm-sized camera with a 6-element f1.8 aspherical lens. When combined with bundled DXO software, the image quality can be stunning. The system is simple. The 3.8-ounce device that measures 67.5 by 48.8 by 26.2 millimeters plugs into the iOS device, such as an iPhone 5S or 6, via its built-in Lightning connector. You can control the camera and compose the shot using the mobile device. JPEGs are saved to the iPhone, that's an optional thing, and DNG RAW files are recorded to the micro SD card in the camera. You can use the JPEGs immediately for social and then fine-tune the RAW files later on your computer. And I wrote that copy, by the way, that was for an article for CT Digital Photography Magazine, where I was talking about this very device. I have had this now for a while, and I've had a lot of questions about it. A lot of people asking me, are you going to talk about it on the show? And yes, indeed, I am. So first, let's just start with the physical stuff. It's a handsome little guy. It really is little. I mean, it literally fits in the palm of your hand, not, you know, up to the fingers and all that. It literally fits in the palm area of your hand, the meat of your hand. It'll fit in there. Now, it has a sliding hatch in the front, and that hatch reveals the lens, and the lens is quite good. On the back, there's a touch LCD. Now, it doesn't do much. You basically just slide between video and still photography, but it's illuminated quite well, and you can read it in just about any type of lighting. There are a couple ports hidden behind a cover, and then on the side, there's a lightning connector that rotates, and the lightning connector flips out. It stays flush against the camera when you're carrying it around, but when you pull the hatch down to open the lens, if you keep pulling, it springs that lightning connector out. Very clever. I like it. So then you plug the lightning connector into the iOS device, in my case, an iPhone 5S, and you launch the DXO app, and then you have a camera with the LCD of your iPhone with controls such as the various program modes. You have a program, aperture priority, shutter priority, and manual. You have 4 scene modes, such as action, portrait, landscape, and night photography. You have an all-out auto mode. And then on top of that, you can do things like set the ISO, exposure compensation, white balance, self-timer. You can activate the flash on the camera. And you can set the format. And there's RAW, Super RAW, and JPEG. Super RAW being, it's kind of unique. The camera actually takes, I think, 4 or 5 raw images, and then it processes them together when you upload it to the computer. What I have been shooting with is RAW and JPEG, and really RAW plus JPEG, in all honesty. The JPEG files go right into my Photos app on the iPhone, which I love this part of it. So I'm shooting with the camera with a fixed lens, and the shots are good right out of the camera. The JPEGs go to my Photos app. I can use them right there. I can edit them. I can upload to Facebook. I can do all the normal stuff. The RAW files, the DNG RAW files, go onto the micro SD card in the back of the camera. So then later on, when I get back to the hotel or get back to my room or whatever, then I can transfer those files to my computer. And they have software for that. They have something called DxO Connect, which will handle that for you. And from there, you can go to DxO Optics Pro or DxO Film Pack for further processing. Now, I'm mentioning all their software because that's the key to this. You could process those DNG RAW files in anything that can process DNG RAWs. To really get the image quality out of this camera, this is what they've done. They've created hardware that takes full advantage of the software they've already developed, and that being, in particular, DxO Optics Pro. Now, you get Optics Pro and Film Pack bundled with the camera, and you really notice a difference. So when the DNG files first come in, and then you process them in Optics Pro, what you originally saw and what you see just after a couple clicks is pretty amazing. And you can set it up so that it automatically processes the images. But when it starts doing things like, you know, the smart lighting, the clear view, you know, all those DxO kinds of things, those images just pop. They really do. And I don't know if you've seen any of the shots that I did with the one at Mono Lake or at Bodie, but really cool. I mean, I'm walking around at sunset at Mono Lake with this camera, and I'm just shooting handheld with it on my iPhone. And those images looked pretty good. I wasn't doing anything fancy. I was just basically in point and shoot mode and with the program turned on. The images are being captured by a 1-inch sensor. And as I said earlier, a very good optic. And then when I start processing them in Optics Pro, I just go, wow, these are really nice. So when they say DSLR quality from a camera that fits in the palm of your hand, they're really not exaggerating. The images are that good. What they don't tell you, and the part that's important to all of this, is I think to really get that DSLR quality that you want, you've got to go the whole pipeline. You need to shoot the DNGs with the camera, and then you need to use either Film Pack or Optics Pro to process the images, and then you will really have something sweet. That's kind of the good news, bad news. And this sort of fits in even with the next story that I'm going to talk about, software called Emulsion. And what I find going on here in the what I call the post-aperture era, I'm still using aperture, but I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do someday after when I can't use it anymore, is that I feel like I'm regressing a bit in the sense that I have all these different pieces of software now that putting some kind of workflow together. Before, for a while, a very nice while, it was just everything went into aperture, period. So now I have DxO Optics Pro. I'm playing with these other apps like Emulsion, which I'll be talking about in the next story, and on and on. And I just sort of feel my workflow kind of falling apart. On the other hand, I really do want to get the best that I can get out of whatever device I'm using. And in the case of this DxO One, literally, if you don't mind the fixed focal length. Now, it has a 4x digital zoom that's pretty decent. But optically, you have a fixed focal length lens here. If you don't mind a fixed focal length lens, you could literally travel Europe with your iPhone in one pocket and this in the other pocket and be just absolutely fine. You would be no problems at all in terms of the image quality. Now, in terms of having the versatility of a zoom lens or whatever, that's a different matter. So let's talk about a couple other little caveats with this. As cute as it is, there are a few things. One is that it does have a lug to put a wrist strap. Put a wrist strap because you don't want it falling out of your hands. You don't want this slipping and falling on the ground because the asking price is going to be, when it's released in September, $599. $599, which in all honesty, I think is high. I do. I think it's high. You know, you could probably get $499 for it. And I was going as high as I could go there. What I really want is to buy it for $299, right? So $599, so you definitely want to have a wrist strap for this because you don't want to break it. Now, it is fairly robust. I mean, it's all metal case. The shutter button on top is very nice. It's a two-position shutter button, so you press it halfway to make it do things and then press it all the way down to take the picture. I think it's going to look good for a long time, and I think it's going to last for a long time. And because you can update the firmware, obviously its capabilities will grow over time also. And then the other thing that I've noticed is that I had to take my iPhone out of its case in order to use the camera, because there isn't any reach. It needs to go on a naked iPhone. So now what I'm doing is I'm carrying my iPhone around in a pouch so that, you know, I just pull it out and then I could plug the camera into it and shoot. So that's another thing. If you have a case that you really love, it probably will not work with this camera, and you have to take that into account. Then the other thing is that I found myself shooting grab shots, the stuff that I needed to do quickly when I'm out in the world. I found myself shooting with a camera not connected to the phone. Now, the good news is you can shoot with this camera not connected to the phone. It will just shoot. It's kind of like shooting with a GoPro. You just line it up. You press the shutter halfway, let it do its thing, focus and so forth. And then you push it all the way down and it takes a shot. And I was surprised at how well I could shoot with this thing without an LCD screen. I mean, they were composed. In general, my shots have been composed quite well without it. So then then it's fast, right? Pull it out of your pocket, you slide the hatch down, you aim, and you take the picture with the shutter button, and boom. And the LCD lights up on the back, so you know how many shots you have left. You know if RAW is turned on. You know what the battery status is. And you know if you're either in still mode or video mode. And if you want to switch to video mode, it's a touch LCD, so you can just swipe it. And then you can go into HD video. That's pretty cool too. So I found myself using it this way a lot when I needed to shoot quickly, because if you set it up the other way, it actually does take a few seconds to, you know, get it configured with the iPhone, turn on the apps, get everything going so you can take the shot. So if we were to boil this down into a pros and cons list, it would go something like this. The pros, at the very top of the pros, outstanding image quality when you use the DxO software. Palm size camera with a 1-inch sensor. That's got to be a plus no matter how you slice it. Clever design with both the hatch in the front and the lightning connector that pops out of the side to connect to an iOS device. Definitely a plus. Well designed, well made. This is a quality piece of equipment. So those are all the pluses. On the con side, you have to start out for a lot of folks is going to be the price, $599. The workflow to get maximum quality out of this is a DxO workflow. Really, you know, that shouldn't be a problem, but for some people it will be a problem because they have their workflow already. And remember, if you're a Lightroom user, you can round trip to DxO no problem at all and come back in. So that, you know, that might be a very workable situation. And then the other con is that if you have a case that you love for your iPhone, that you're probably not going to be able to use it with this camera. So that's the downside. All of that being said, when I'm out and about somewhere nice, somewhere beautiful, I like to have this camera in my pocket. And what I was doing out at Mono Lake is that I put the 40 to 150 f/2.8 on my Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II, just left it on there and was shooting long, knowing that I had good enough image quality, excellent image quality with the DX01 in my pocket for the semi-wide stuff, for the stuff at 32 millimeters. And it kept me from having to change lenses. And those images that I shot with the DX01 easily compare with the stuff that I shot with my EM5 Mark II. You know, so that's kind of neat. So it's an exciting device. If you have the money, you might want to pre-order it and check it out. And I have to say, it's good to learn the DxO software because they have really done a heck of a job with Optics Pro 10 and FilmPak both. They're both great pieces of software. And all the other little pieces are just going to get better. The DxO Connect, the iOS app, all this stuff is just going to continue to improve. This is a V1 release. So I'm pretty excited about it. And at the same time, I'm going to be very curious to see what you guys have to say after you study it more, and then how many of you order it. Story number two. Emulsion could be the new home for your aperture plugins. Now, I know this is kind of an unusual angle for this particular piece of software. What they say on their website is that Emulsion is the new photo cataloging app for the Mac. And I suppose it is. Let me just give you a bit of an overview of it here, and then we'll get into the details. What they say on their website is that you can make it beautiful. It supports adjustment sets, which means you can put together a collection of adjustments and use it again and again. Comes with over 30 adjustment sets to get you going. Those are like the presets. And the adjustment tools themselves are quite good. You have all the usual suspects, plus things like gradient map and noise reduction. So you have some extra goodies too, in addition to shadow, highlights, tone mapping, all that. They do have face recognition in here, and they also have XF data editing. So there are certain fields in the XF data that you can edit, such as ISO and so forth. Not all of them, but some of them. And I think that's pretty interesting. And they do a good job of giving you all the metadata for a particular image. It's good for scanning, those of you that like to scan film. The application matches well to scanners, and they do all sorts of good stuff like dust removal and even allow you to assign a film type to a collection of images. You can use external editors with the application. And then, of course, it works with exporting and sharing and all that good stuff. In terms of cataloging itself, it has things like star ratings and keywords. Nothing too fancy, but certainly you don't have star ratings in photos for OS 10, for example. So there's something right there. And the way that it works is it's a non-destructive editor. So what they allow you to do is basically point it to a folder of images, and it acknowledges those images. And then if you want to actually image edit a file in one of those folders, it makes a version of it right off the bat. So it never messes with your master file. It's always working with a version, and it's very easy to keep track of the versions. They do a nice job with that in the UI. So you can play to your heart's content, and you can make as many versions as you want, and then never have to worry about your master file itself. However, here's where the dilemma comes in again, like I was talking about in the last story, which is, it's for me, I don't know if it's going to be a complete image management tool. And if it's not complete, then I have a problem, because then I'm back to, I have a bunch of different applications that I'm playing with. And I feel like literally I'm going back 10 years, you know, and I don't want to go back 10 years. I liked it when I had all my stuff organized with one app. Now, the part that's really interesting is that they have designed this thing to accept your aperture plugins. And I thought that was cool. It's pretty easy to set up. And so I set up Color Effects Pro with this application, Emulsion, and it worked great. It worked great. I mean, it was a very nice way to work with that plugin. And I put Silver Effects in also, and now I'm just going to put them all in, because the app itself is a pretty good image editor. You're working with versions, so you don't have to worry about the masters. You have all sorts of good tools already. And then you have this really nice connection with the Aperture plugin, and then the image comes back from the plugin and you can play with it some more, and then you can export it out to whatever format you want. They have all the usual suspects, TIFF, Photoshop, JPEG, all that. So I thought all that worked really well, and I have a lot of Aperture plugins that I really like. And I thought, well, you know, it's kind of a lightweight app. It costs $49 if you buy it. You can do a 30-day free trial that's fully functional. If you want to buy it now, you can use the coupon code. I used the coupon code PETAPIXEL in all upper caps, PETAPIXEL, like the site, and it took 25% off. So I thought, okay, that's, you know, that's worth working with for me, because I'm going to do, I'm sure, a couple of stories about it. And then in terms of actually using it, it took me a few minutes to kind of get comfortable, but it's not bad at all. It supports all the RAW files that were on my computer. I suspect that it's tapping into the OS's RAW processing. So I have a feeling that whatever Apple supports, Emulsion will support. I wasn't able to verify that. I didn't find any documentation on that, but it just felt that way to me. So as long as Apple keeps, stays on top of their RAW profiling, then Emulsion should be just fine. And then the thing, of course, that I was thinking about, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Aperture when we get to El Capitan, the next version. I know there's a few outstanding bugs on it now. I hope they get squashed so that we have a fully functional Aperture with El Capitan. Emulsion will probably go El Capitan and beyond, which means then I do have an application that will use all of my Aperture plugins and will probably evolve and get better and does photo management better than Photos for OS X, and certainly does image editing stronger. So I don't know. I mean, what I would do if you're curious about this, and especially if you do have Aperture plugins, is download the 30-day free trial, take a look at it and see what you think. I'm going to stay on top of it, and if it starts to go somewhere where I think it could actually become your full-time photo management app, I'll certainly do a follow-up story on it. But right now, I think it's young, it's green, and it has a lot of potential, and is certainly worth downloading for a 30-day free trial. Okay, let's stroll over to the screening room. Today's selection is Up and Running with Pixelmator with Richard Harrington. Pixelmator is, of course, another one of those interesting software selections for the Mac that is good for both photographers and graphic artists, because it has drawing tools and it has image editing tools. And Richard Harrington just takes you through the whole thing. If that's an app that you have wanted to get going with, but you looked at it and go, I don't know, I can't get started with it, watch this screening room selection, and I think you'll get up to speed really quickly, and then you can decide if it's something that you want to use. So you can visit the TDS screening room by going to lynda.com, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. There you can check out a very hefty introductory movie. I mean, he really gets into it in this movie that we have posted in the screening room. And if you like what you see, you can start your 7-day free trial, watch the entire set of movies on Pixelmator, plus everything else that's in the Lynda online training library. So this week's selection, Up and Running with Pixelmator with Richard Harrington. If you've been curious about this app, this is the training for you. Alrighty, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I'm going to start out with the moving from Aperture to Photos or Lightroom. And that is on August 7th and 8th here at the Digital Story headquarters. And I'm going to be incorporating other apps into this, like Emulsion. We're really going to look at this from a lot of different angles. If this is something that you're interested in, if you've been an Aperture user and you want to weigh all of your options, I think you will love this workshop, August 7th and 8th. And you can request a reservation form by going to the TDS Workshops page at the Digital Story. And just use the send me info form. It'll take you 3 seconds and I'll get you a registration form right away. Let's talk about SizzlePics for just a second, because I tell you, if you want to show off your stuff, if you're out shooting summer stuff right now, summer vacation, summer graduation, summer wedding, summer, all that good stuff that we get to shoot in the summer, and you have garnered a few prize images with the shooting, then I think you should consider getting them sizzled, because the new ultra-high definition SizzlePics, it'll take your image beyond what you ever thought possible. And that's the fact of the matter. And you know, there's nothing wrong with pulling out a couple of your great images and making them big and hanging them on the wall. Don't be shy. Get out there, fly your flag, show your stuff off, get excited, get other people excited. SizzlePix.com. It's like an ultra high definition retina display that you can hang on the wall. Beautiful, beautiful stuff, handcrafted. They will make your stuff look fantastic. And we have a tile for them on all the pages of the Digital Story. I also want to mention our good friends over at Red River Paper and remind you that they have an excellent Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They like to give away paper, and if you want to hang out and see if you can snatch a box or two here and there, go to their Facebook page, like it, and follow them. See what they're up to. I mean, they do printing reviews, they have tips. They love photography. And even though they focus on output, even output is their thing, and believe me, they know output, but they love photography in general, and they cover the whole gamut. They're great folks, and I tell you, I don't print on anything else but Red River paper. You can find out how you can save, up to 40%. That's just everyday prices, because they make the paper and they sell the paper directly to you. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Check them out. Go to our landing page. Nose around. If you do nothing else, you'll learn a lot about printing. And I think that is going to do it for today. So, headliner, the DX01. It is an interesting, high-quality device. I'm just fascinated to see what happens with it when it starts shipping in September. And then, of course, software-wise, I'm going to keep playing with Emulsion, get to know it a little bit better. And then Elo, yes! Finally, Elo on iOS device, I think it's going to take it to the next level. So lots of good stuff today. I'm working on more fun stuff for next week. Please come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.